He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That is right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday, October 20th. Happy Monday to everyone who is here, who is listening, however you're listening, wherever you're listening here on this wonderful afternoon. Big sports weekend to go over, big sports weekend to talk about, of course. Lots of reaction to all the local sports that are going on here in the Central Valley and on top of what is going on nationally as well. Good to be here behind the bench, Phil Bonatti, in for you for an hour. That's right. We're only got an hour today. Got to send it up to Lions and Buccaneers here on this wonderful Monday night football doubleheader, Lions Bucks at 4 p.m. and it's Texans Seahawks at 7 p.m. You can listen to both games on 1430 here on the Central Valley Sports Leader. You can also listen to MLB playoffs game 7 tonight, Mariners and Blue Jays from Toronto, do or die game 7 on our airwaves over on 790. That one pregame starting at about 4:30, first pitch at 5 p.m. We are live on demand on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website. We are also live on the ESPN Fresno app. We're also live with video on the YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch pages of ESPN Fresno when you want to tune in there. So plenty of great stuff to get to in terms of that. You can also listen to our shows, my show, Tony's show, Palmetto's show, all of them. Great listings that we have here for local programming for you that you can listen to on our 1430 ESPN airwaves. It's good to be here. Like I said, Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing is how you reach us. Lee's Air Weather Check. As we check the weather for today here in Fresno, 81 degrees is the high today. Yes, it's a little bit warmer than usual. 83 tomorrow, then we'll dip back into the 70s for the foreseeable future. I'm looking at that game day temp, 73 degrees and cloudy for that midday game between Fresno State and San Diego State, the one that's kicking off at around 12:30. All right. Like I said, Lee's Air Hotline. Hopefully you can call in on Lee's Air Hotline. A lot of people dealing with the phone issues today. Yours truly certainly is has been dealing with the Verizon outage that's going on. I got my producer, Jorge, in here. First of all, Jorge, I'll go straight to it. I'll talk about the show soon, but I'll go straight to it. How was your weekend for you? How was your weekend overall?
Hey there, Phil. It was all right. I got a little ill on Sunday, but other than that,
doing better?
Yeah, definitely.
You're on the up and up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. A little one-day bug doesn't hurt anybody in terms of that. So, have you been dealing with this outage, this whole, I guess, AWS is out, this web service that Amazon provides for a lot of people, and apparently there's a whole other thing that's going on with a bunch of different cell phone companies.
I got an AT&T, so I'm good.
You're good. Yeah, no, I haven't been able to make a call all day today. I've been hopping and skipping on the Wi-Fi all throughout the day. Oh, there we go. I just got so full transparency. I'm trying to pull up my ESPN stats and info page here, like I always do on these wonderful shows that I have. So it gives me a little bit of a template of what I want to talk about. Here's the problem, Jorge. We love our two-factor authentication, right? To make sure you're who you are and you say you are, and it's connected to your cell phone. I can't get a text sent to me to log into this ESPN stats and info. Oh, here it is. It just came in. It took like 2 minutes for me to come in here, get to come in here. So now I have stats and info in front of me now. All right. Thank goodness. I was a little worried, Jorge. I was a little worried for what we were going to go deal with. But anyways, I want to talk about sports and talk about this weekend. And I'm going to be completely honest and transparent with you. I don't know what prompted it for me, Jorge, but I did a little sports cleanse on Saturday. And by sports cleanse, I decided to just unhook from the sports world Saturday and not watch any sports and just kind of do my own thing. And I was staying at my parents' house and just kind of, you know, just enjoying the day and not having to worry about anything. And there was no MLB playoff baseball for me. I didn't think there was really any compelling college football. And so I decided to just totally unhook from the sports world on Saturday. It was pretty nice. Pretty nice for a day. And then, of course, I got the itch to go back in on Sunday and really dive in. But I thought it was a nice little break from everything. And maybe I'm being sacrilegious by saying it because this is my job and I talk about sports and everything like that. But with no Fresno State, I had no incentive to connect on Saturday. And so I think it was nice. I think it was pretty nice.
Yeah, it's always good to get away for a bit. You know, just because it's a long season.
Yeah, of course.
But, you missed out on some crazy games.
Saturday? What was the craziest one on Saturday in college football?
Well, Texas almost lost that one.
I didn't even know Texas almost lost. See, I'm just learning about this for the first time.
They went to the overtime. And
did they?
Yeah, against Kansas. Or no, who was it? Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky almost beat them.
Kentucky, yeah.
Okay.
And they should have beat them. But they just, I don't know, overtime, they just, that game, they had the first try, and they were, like, down there, and they got stopped. And instead of going for the kick on fourth down, they just tried to go for it, and they didn't make it. And
didn't get it. All right. Texas survives. Texas, what happened to your Trojans?
Exactly. Man.
I'm genuinely looking at scores for the first time today, right now on air.
It's like you could tell that the Notre Dame had just better athletes out there.
People are saying USC doesn't want to play this game anymore, this Notre Dame game.
No, it's because they're not going to play anymore.
I know. And USC scared? Is that what it is?
No, because they're the Big Ten.
Okay. And they're scared? Because they don't want to play a non-conference game against Notre Dame?
Who said that?
That's the narrative, right?
No. They want to keep it because they make money.
Well, Notre Dame needs it because Notre Dame has a cupcake schedule every year.
Oh, that's what it is. That's
and USC can't seem to win these games that are on there as well. So, I don't know. I'm just...
okay. Yeah,
I'm building a narrative for it.
Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer? Handling Tennessee, that's pretty good. BYU, outlasting Utah. All right. Texas A&M in a shootout over Arkansas. That's pretty good.
That was a good one, too.
Yeah. Poor Rutgers. Texas Tech going down for the first time this year.
UCLA.
UCLA. I did see UCLA beat whoever they played. That was
Maryland.
Maryland. And now Skip goes up against Cignetti. In Indiana next week, right? This Saturday?
That's going to be interesting.
I think it's a 9 a.m. kick our time before the Fresno State game. So that'll be interesting. I will say, though, so for those who have not been following the show, I was watching my parents' house this whole, like, last couple of weeks. I've been dog-sitting and watching my parents' house. I finally got home to my own house and stayed at my own house for last night for the first time in like 2 weeks. My folks are enjoying a trip out in Hawaii. At least they enjoyed the time in Hawaii. Let me tell you, if you want to hear, maybe I think they had the worst travel nightmare situation imaginable. You ready to hear about this flight plan, man, that happened?
Go for it.
So they're on Hilo, the big island. They need to get to Honolulu to connect from Honolulu to San Diego, to San Diego, to Fresno. So they got 3 flights to make it back to Fresno. They were planning on leaving at 5 p.m. Friday. out of Hilo. That flight's fine. They get to Honolulu by like 7. That flight from Honolulu to San Diego is supposed to leave at 10 p.m. Hawaii time. They find out before even their flight on Hilo that their flight gets delayed to midnight Hawaii time. They were going to arrive about an hour and a half now before their San Diego flight. Okay? And this is the last I know about it. I got to go to bed because I'm not like staying up till 3 a.m. to see if they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wake up and because I'm supposed to pick them up from the airport. I'm going to wake up and see what happens. I wake up. I saw their flight didn't leave till 2:45 Hawaii time in the morning. They landed about 30 minutes after their connected flight in San Diego left for Fresno. Okay, but that's fine, right? 11 a.m.? What's 4 more hours, Jorge? They can leave at 4 p.m. San Diego time. They can get in around, 5:45 in Fresno, right? Should be all good. Everything should be fine and dandy. Yeah. That's why you travel. So Saturday, around 4 p.m., they get a notification their flight gets canceled out of San Diego. And there's no more flights out of San Diego to get to Fresno. Brutal. So now they have to stay the night in San Diego.
And just wait for the next day?
And the next morning at 8 a.m., they flew out of San Diego to Fresno. I picked them up at around 9:45. And they were dreary, to say the least. So imagine starting your flighted journey from 5 p.m. Friday and you don't get home until 9:30 a.m. Sunday. Imagine that.
It's like a whole day of just traveling of unnecessary
more than
traveling.
A whole day, like 36 hours of travel to try to get home. Brutal stuff. Brutal stuff, man. It is at least they got comped the hotel. At least they got comped the all the unnecessary. I think they actually got like a $50 food voucher as well for the evening.
Okay, so that wasn't that
But
bad.
here's a question. My parents were told they got offered $2,500 in airline credit to wait till Monday to fly out of San Diego. And I'm wondering if you would have done it.
Yeah.
You would have done $2,500 in Alaskan airline credit?
Yeah, I'll call in sick. I got sick hours.
So just another night in San Diego, you know? I don't know how many more change of clothes.
As long as they pay for my hotel, I'm fine.
Yeah? You're chilling?
Oh, yeah.
I told my parents this. I'm like, you guys are retired. You should have taken the extra day in San Diego. What's wrong with just one more day in San Diego?
Go sightseeing?
Exactly, right? So
I got cousins in San Diego. I can go.
My dad was so fed up. He had a plan. He was talking about flying from Honolulu direct to San Jose. They would have got into San Jose at around midnight Saturday morning, like Friday night, Saturday morning, flying direct. And then they would have asked me to drive up to San Jose to pick him up on Saturday morning. Like, I would have done that. And I'm wondering if that was like a better idea. Like, what was your move? Would your move have been to do that instead of risking the improper connection in San Diego and you're staying there, or would you fly all the way to San Jose and ask for a person to pick you up?
Yeah, I would probably would have done that.
See,
if I had my brother and my brother would have been like free.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Hey, road trip it, man. You got to help me out. Come to San Jose, pick me up. But I'll put myself in a hotel and we'll road trip it back.
I got cousins since I was here.
Yeah, you're good.
I could stay at their house.
Exactly. I had a similar situation when I was flying through Denver. I told you about the Taylor Swift story.
Yeah.
So I had a similar situation because I missed my final flight out of Denver that day to go to Bismarck. And I thought, and after the fact, after I looked at the board and I was like, oh my God, there was a flight to Minot, which is like only an hour and a half drive away from Bismarck. I should have done it. And one of my biggest life regrets, because man, was I dreary after sleeping on a cot in the Denver airport. For like 2 hours, maybe, try to go to bed. So that was brutal. Airline travel, man, it's gross. It's so gross. And I'm not going to blame anything because it sounded like it was extenuating circumstances. But I'll tell you what, right now, with the lack of a government right now, I would imagine it's tough.
You know what? Now that you're saying it like that and now thinking about it, I might not take the money just because I would have been so fed up. I would have been so like,
right?
I'm over this. I got to get home.
Just get me home.
Yeah. I might not have. from that.
Well, think about it, Jorge. You have not slept in a bed since Thursday night. You flew overnight on a plane Friday. You did not sleep in a bed Friday to Sunday or Saturday morning. And you're also being told you're not going to sleep in your bed Saturday night, staying at a hotel.
Yeah, I would have asked you to go pick me up from San Diego.
Drive the 5 hours, and I'm back. Full day trip.
You know what? Just take the train to L.A. and then from L.A. just come and pick me up to L.A. Make it easier for you.
That would have been insane. That would have been insane. Anyways, bless my parents. They did well. They're home. They're safe. It's good to be home. It's good to be safe. And it's good to have them there. Boy, NFL football, though, it delivered on Sunday, I would say. It certainly delivered. I got a Benatti's list and a Benice list. We could go over all the different stuff. Niners get a win. How you feel about that last night, Jorge? I got to imagine a win's a win. Is that kind of your mentality?
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. Yeah, just the
Tatum
way that
Bethune, is that a guy we're now paying attention to? The new Fred
the way
Warner?
The defense, looked, I'm into it.
Yeah?
Because it feels like they're fresh, like they're young. They made mistakes, definitely made mistakes, but I feel like they put pressure and on a team that, I mean, last week was all over the Bills.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It felt good.
I thought that was as impressive of a defensive win for the Niners as I saw. I knew it seemed like Kyle Shanahan was like, bet, I'm going to win a football game by running it 50 times. Bet. Yeah, I don't know what semblance of passing game he was worried about. By the way, I was getting so irritated last night at Juwan Jennings. I'm like, I don't know why he's on the field right now. Like, you could clearly see his rib injury was totally affecting him, and he was absolutely a detriment to your team.
Yeah, but he made it. Defenders stayed on him. Like,
if I'm a defender, I know he can't catch. Because
he's still out there.
Jorge, just imagine broken ribs, and you just have to go up and extend your arms and try to grab a football. That sounds brutal. Like, to extend your arms above your head and try to catch a football with broken ribs. The dude, and every pass that was called to Juwan Jennings was one of those plays where he needed to reach his arms up and catch a football. And that's quite simply something I don't feel comfortable asking him to do. I was like, where is DeMarcus Robinson? This is certainly not where I was a little fed up. I was fed up for Niner fans. I was like, Juwan should not be out here. Juwan should not be out there playing right now. He needs to get
healthy.
But
I feel like he gets look just being out there.
Yeah.
People looked at him like, okay, this is more difficult than any other guy that it's out here.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that with Kittle. Kittle didn't have that many plays on him, mm-hmm. but I mean, he was, blocking.
I don't think Kittle had a single catch last night.
I think he had one.
Maybe. Yeah, I think he goose egged last night.
He might have, maybe. But I mean, he opened up the running game.
Also, by the way,
made a huge difference in the running
game. One of
the
quickest games I've ever watched. Like, Jorge, feel it in the post game? Did you watch the post game? They were stretching. Like, Tariqo and Collins were stretching in
that
postgame. Oh, they
talk about that, what is this?
The running back day, national rate, which is so forced.
Way longer than they should.
It was so forced. It was so forced.
And they
forced.
Gave it to all three of them, and they had a conversation
As a person who used to be in TV, I watched that postgame last night, and I'm like, this is stretching, bro. This is so stretching. They are stretching for content in any form or fashion of it. But you know what? Good for the Niner fans, because they just talked about him for a long time after the game. And now the Niners 5-2, and you got a cushion going into your next two games. I would say it's certainly a nice cushion into two road games against, I would say, two very difficult defensive lines to figure out and solve. Niners are going to have issues there, but I would say they're winnable. Texans, we'll see what the Texans look like tonight in terms of how they play. And, of course, they get the Giants, who, for all intents and purposes, dominated a football game for about 3-plus quarters yesterday.
And then they lost.
And then just chaos ensued in Denver. We'll get to that in a second. So, yeah, I think the Niners are in a pretty decent spot to really compete for that West division. They currently still hold the lead. The Rams are right on their tail. 3 weeks from now is going to be absolutely massive at Levi's Stadium between the Rams and the Niners. So there is a lot to look forward to with these two teams, and I cannot wait for it, Jorge. I cannot wait. It's going to go down to the stretch, go to the wire. Can't believe we're only going to get two games already for the Rams and Niners. I thought we'd get a much later one, but regardless. All right, we're reacting to the weekend. We got a whole hour still left of this show, or we're going all the way to 4 o'clock. So not a whole lot left of the show to talk about everything. We're going to do Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice. We're going to get you set up for tonight's games, including the Monday night doubleheader and the World Series potential for the Mariners or the Blue Jays, ALCS Game 7 tonight. Love it. Can't wait. We'll be right back after the break. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Monday, 1 hour before we send it out to Detroit for Monday Night Football between the Buccaneers and the Lions. There should be a big one to determine the NFC. All right, let's go to Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice from the weekend. Jorge, where do we want to start? Are we feeling naughty or are we feeling nice today?
Let's go with Benatti.
Benatti, who's Benatti? All right. Well, Raider fans, let's start with you, and let's start with the Las Vegas Raiders offense. That's my first Benatti of the day, and I read a stat, and I wonder if I can verify it through the ESPN stats and info portal here, because I have to just. I have to rub my eyes to make sure this is actually real. The Raiders become the second team in the last 75 years, Jorge, with 30 or fewer offensive plays in a game. Only the 1999 Browns ran less plays than that in a game against Pittsburgh. They ran 28 plays. The Raiders had as many plays ran on offense as the Chiefs had first downs in the game. Inept, awful, horrible, despicable for some people. The Raiders are at a new low. No Brock Bowers in this game certainly didn't help. No Jacoby Myers certainly didn't help. Geno Smith does not look like the answer for the quarterback position for the Raiders. The Raiders look like there is no direction in this one. Pete Carroll just kind of slack-jawed, just staring at what is happening and transpiring for his football team. This is brutal for what the Raiders are and what the Raiders have represented so far this year. And this is absolutely new. I don't care if it's the Kansas City Chiefs. That is horrible, horrible NFL offense for you. And the Raiders are my first Benatti.
I thought, you know, maybe with Pete Carroll, this team would change a little bit. It would become a little bit more dynamic, but it just doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. I don't know where they go. I don't know what the answer is in terms of it. There's clearly got to be a whole exorcism of what this roster can look like. They are obviously going to be in the market for quarterback, I would assume, in the draft.
They got some talented people in the offense, so, I mean, I don't know.
Genty's fine, but he's not worthy of the sixth overall pick right now.
Yeah, he's not the star that they thought it was going to be, or at least not yet.
Yeah. How about, you want to guess how many passing yards Geno Smith had in that game, by the way?
Is it above 100?
No. 67, Jorge. Jeez. Fewest in a start for him since 2014, the second game this season, though. Hey, by the way, at least he didn't throw a pick. At least he didn't throw an interception, turn the ball over, right? That must be nice. Improvements there, right, Jorge? Man.
Something's happening.
Brutal stuff. Raiders. Raiders offense specifically are on my naughty list. Let's go to my first Benice. Let's go out to London, and I'm going to give it specifically to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams, 3 touchdowns receiving. How about a tie for his career high? He did it twice in 2020 with Green Bay. He is the second player ever in National Football League history to catch 3 touchdowns in an international game. The only other guy to do it, 2017, Mercedes Lewis caught 3 touchdown catches in a football game in London in 2017 for the Jaguars. Devontae, certainly picking up where Puka Nacua maybe was left, and this is why the Rams grabbed Davante Adams, because when you don't have Puka, you can absolutely find ways to win and be effective on offense regardless of the injury situation. And so Davante went classic. Davante went throwback to his capabilities, and he is certainly earning the money he deserves for this Rams team, and that's why I feel like this Rams team is a deep team in this NFC, a team that certainly is capable of winning in the NFC, getting to a Super Bowl because of that depth. And I love it. I love Davante turning back the clock and doing what he did against Jacksonville, and now they go feeling good, 5-2 and a bye.
Yeah, Davante definitely needed a game like this, and without Puka, you know he's going to be the number one target, and even his opponents knew that, but he was still able to come out on top. So, you know, shows how much of a player he is, you know?
Yeah. You want to hear a crazy stat, too, with Stafford, by the way?
Let's hear it.
Stafford was blitzed a lot against Jacksonville on Sunday. Against the blitz, he threw 5 touchdown passes, by the way, in this game. You don't blitz on Matthew Stafford. He was 11 for 14 for 85 yards and 5 touchdowns against the blitz. Only 3 other quarterbacks have ever done that, thrown 5 touchdown passes against the blitz in NFL history. Baker did it last year, Mahomes did it in 2022, and Aaron Rodgers did it in 2012.
His ability to get rid of the balls quickly is, you know, one of the best. And I don't understand why they didn't realize that, you know.
I think if you sit and just kind of like let your rush go, like the Niners, I don't remember them blitzing against the Rams back on Thursday night when the Rams were struggling on offense. It was just a lot of, good twists up in the middle in terms of the defensive side, and they were able to win against their guys.
So, yeah, just confusion.
Yeah.
Confusing the
where's the pressure coming from? Yeah. But always rush 4. I find that more effective than just like sending 6 or sending 7 in some term or fashion. But Stafford's good. Stafford's too sharp to be confused of what he sees in terms of the pressure. So let's go to Who's Benatti. And I'm just going to give it to the LA Chargers for just quite simply losing in embarrassing fashion in their yellows, their banana yellows. Jorge, you retire that jersey after you lose that game, right? That's what you do?
You burn it and throw it in the trash.
Hey, like you're never wearing that football jersey again.
I don't. Yeah, especially because you felt like that team could have won the game. And honestly, it just didn't go their way. But still, that
Chargers, low-key most disappointing team in the last 4 weeks. They're 1-3 in their last 4 after starting 3-0, and everybody was thinking they're world beaters, and maybe this is the team that's going to come out of the AFC and play in a Super Bowl this year. And they have, I mean, granted the injury situation, but they have not adjusted in any form or fashion to make this team better. And I don't see how they can overcome the hump of what they are dealing with in terms of the injury department. And frankly, it looked like a joke against Indianapolis. And Indianapolis can make teams look like that in terms of it. But let's be honest with ourselves. The Chargers are not a real team anymore until they make some moves. And I don't know if that's in them. I don't know if that's in Harbaugh to make moves for the Chargers to get better. But I'm putting them on the naughty list simply by losing by way more than I think the final score gave it to. And they look foolish. They look foolish doing it. So there you go.
Yeah. And I feel like the Colts are the team that, you know, you feel like they're not that good, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I think they're there. I think they're for real. I think they're for real in terms of it. Let's go to my next Ben Ice. And I feel vindicated. I feel vindicated with this next pick. I'm just quite simply in a conglomerate picking this Bronco-Giants game. Remember my Benatti blitz when I ranked these games, Jorge, last Tuesday? I had this game the number 2 best game of the week. The only game I had better than this week is starting in about 30 minutes, which is Lions and Bucks. So I had Broncos-Giants as my favorite game on Sunday, and I think I'm vindicated. I think that was the best game on Sunday. Might be one of the craziest games of the year. About 33 points from the Broncos in the fourth quarter. Most points ever scored by a team when they were shut out in the first 3 quarters of a game. teams were had lost 1,605 straight games when they trailed by 18 points in the final 6 minutes. The Broncos bust that streak and win the game in that crazy fashion. There is a recipe to how this all goes down. Thank you, Bo Nix, for the 40 fantasy points that you put up mostly in that fourth quarter. Love it. And the Giants have to feel sick about themselves. I think that's almost a fireable loss in terms of Daboll and the way they handled the end game of that one. When you lose a game that has been won in a situation 1,605 straight times beforehand, Jorge, that's a fireable offense, I would say, for the Giants. But I love the drama. It delivered, for sure.
I feel like I have the worst for this game.
you got nothing?
When I was watching it, I was like, wow, I can't believe, because, I mean, Broncos are a good team. At least that's what I feel. And the Giants, you know, they struggle, but they seem to be up this last few weeks. So I was like, okay, I guess they're legit.
Yeah.
And then I saw Scottable scoring, and I was like, man, they can't stop this guy. So I didn't watch the fourth quarter. And when I came back to it, I was like, wait, what? What is happening?
Well, after the Giants score a touchdown where Dart throws it to one guy, it deflects off his hands, and then the tight end's coming behind him and grabs the ball and runs it like 65 yards for a touchdown. And I saw Bronco fans from the peripheral leaving the stadium after that.
I mean, I don't blame them.
Do you want to?
I would have thought it was the same thing.
Famous game, the last time a team trailed by 18-plus in the final 6 minutes. There's only one other time a team won this game. It's a famous Monday night game. Do you got it in your head? Do you know which game I'm talking about?
Was it the Raiders?
No, it was 2003. It was the Colts and the Bucks. The Colts were trailing 26-8 with 5:30 to go, and Peyton Manning went absolutely psycho. And they won that game over the Buccaneers in overtime. Vanderjack, I think, hit the game-winning field goal where he hit a post and it went in on a crazy carom.
2003.
Tony Dungy's revenge game against the Buccaneers over the the Colts beat him. Yeah.
Because the Buccaneers had just won it.
Won the Super Bowl. They had John Gruden on the other side. Yeah. Crazy game. Crazy game. My last Benotti. It quite simply goes to Cam Ward, and I'm just gonna, you know, give him you know what for the fumble that he caused himself, where the ball just slips out of his hands while he's trying to pump it, and slips out of his hands, goes backwards, Kayvon Chase on, recovers it, fumble, touchdown. And I want to just give a shout out to the Titans, who you know, feel like the smartest people in the world sometimes when they think about their football operations. Mike Vrabel this year has 5 wins as a Patriots head coach, and the Titans have 4 wins since they fired Mike Vrabel.
I just feel like, you know, sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, but it just backfires on you, and I think it might be one of them.
Might be one of them. Little ego trip for him. So Titans and Cam Ward, rough game. By the way, Drake May, highest completion percentage in New England Patriot history in a football game for a quarterback. Yeah. And you know who played quarterback at that place.
Can we say better than Tom Brady?
If it's better than Tom Brady, then everybody else is screwed in the NFL. And, that's 6 more titles for my team. And I know you would hate to see that go down in terms of it. My last Ben Ice goes to, let's go Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense for waking up and hitting the deep ball. How about A.J. Brown, 4 catches, 121? How about Devontae Smith, 9 catches, 183? Both combining for 3 receiving touchdowns. Jalen Hurts going deep ball over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. That's the offense you want to see from Philadelphia Eagles team if you're hoping they are getting back to their normal ways. So I'm giving a shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles here and their pass offense. I audibled at the last second. I know the sheet says something different, but I'm gonna go Eagles here, Jorge, in terms of the way they played.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've been showing it all throughout the entire season, and I mean it's a young season still.
Yeah, of course,
but it just feels like they're on on a different bat. It
looks like they're back. Looks like they're back.
It looks like it.
But we'll see. They got the Giants next week. We know what happened the last time they played. Literally 10 days ago. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to preview the game tonight between the Lions and the Bucks, and also the Texans and the Seahawks. Big double dip. We'll pick the games, preview it next. Stay with us. We'll wrap up the show next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Reminder, tonight, major wager, your chance to bid on and win a pair of tickets to see seven-time ACM Award winner, four-time CMA Award winner, and how about 10-time Grammy nominee, Eric Church. He's live at the St. Martin Center on November 14th. Tickets are on sale now at the box office or online at Ticketmaster.com. Chance to win those tickets. Chance to win many prizes tonight. 4 o'clock. That's right. We're starting early over at Major Wager. That's got to zip over here right after this for a Monday night doubleheader. We're going to do the first game of the doubleheader, Bucks at Lions. We are not going to be doing Texas Seahawks. However, you can go and enjoy some pizza and food and beverages over there if you would like to for both games. Of course, we got many, many things to get into. How about our daily spread brought to you by me and Ed, or daily spread brought to you by Chichancy Gold Resort and Casino. Not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck with Chichancy Gold Resort and Casino today. Let's take a look at the spreads for tonight. Tampa Bay and Detroit. Detroit 6-point favorite over to Tampa Bay tonight. I will say, I want to bring up the injury report brought to you by Davis and Van Wagner, sponsors for our injury report. Emeka Ibuka is going to play tonight for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So Ibuka is back after 1 week off, or basically, I don't even know if it was 1 week off. I think he was just out for a half against the 49ers. Thought it was going to be a long-term injury for his hamstring, but seems to be okay. And that's a big weapon for Tampa to have back. I feel great about Tampa's chances now that Ibuka is ready to play and go and be at full strength. And I feel like 6 is a massive number for Detroit. Feels like this will be close and feels like Tampa will win outright. I'm going to go Tampa tonight over the Detroit Lions. What do you feel, Jorge, tonight between Tampa and Detroit?
I feel like Tampa is just, they've been on a roll.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they could be the Lions. I think they'd be one of the front runners to, you know.
Music to my ears. Are you believing in Baker?
Do I believe in Baker?
So. You'll never believe in Baker. I know that. You have something against Baker.
But basically, if they could be the Lions tonight, and they're you know, I feel like they're the front runners too.
They'd be 6-1. They'd be 2 games up on the Lions, and they'd be pretty much in the NFC, like driver's seat.
Yeah, like pretty much they make the playoffs already, especially in that. You know, the division that they're in.
Baker Mayfield has 8 touchdowns that are, I believe, 20 yards or more down the field in terms of completion. 20 yards downfield this season, tied for the NFL best, 23 in such throws since joining the Bucs in 2023. He pushes the ball down the field better than anybody in terms of it. He has completed every pass attempt on his screens this season, so those are effective in terms of it. How about also, by the way, he could scramble for first downs. He's got 11. Only Patrick Mahomes has more this season in the NFL as well. So effective in every department of it. I'm going Tampa. You're going Tampa tonight?
Actually, you know what? Let me go Lions.
You're going to go Lions? All right.
Yeah, just so I could be a contrarian today.
All right. Let's go to Seattle next. Seattle is a 3-point favorite against Houston tonight. Texans coming off a bye, I believe. I think I remember them being on a bye last week. I just vaguely don't remember any Houston Texan football in a long time. So I'm assuming they're coming off of a bye for this game tonight against Seattle. Seattle, of course, beating Jacksonville last week. in an effective fashion. I feel great about how Seattle's offense has gone, and really the pass offense has been really effective. But when your strength is against the pass rush like Houston, Houston's coming off of beating, I think, Tennessee a couple weeks ago in terms of it. I just don't know if the juice is there in the offensive line for Seattle to totally protect Houston. But on the flip side, I just don't know what Houston has to go up against the Seattle defense that – I think really frustrated a Jaguars team that was feeling great on the offensive side. I think they're starting to hum a little bit in terms of the way they can play. I do believe Seattle has a good edge against the Texans tonight. I believe Seattle can win tonight. I think 3 points is the right number. I think they do win by three. So I'm going to go Seattle tonight to beat the Houston Texans. Where are you at, Jorge?
Yeah, you know, they're coming off a bye, and I think that I just don't feel like Seattle's, you know, has got – I feel like the Texans are just a better team.
Really?
I think they have a better defense.
Okay.
They have a struggle, though. So
that offense is scary. They just have not done anything with that offense.
They do have 2 wins, though.
Against the Titans, who have been horrible, against the Ravens, who have been horrible.
And they're coming off a bye. So
yes.
I think this what did they say, a litmus test to see how good they are. But we'll see. I think Seattle, they have weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely going to be tough. But I got a feeling that the Texans are going to do it.
Can I tell you this? I'll pick Seattle for sure to win if their Seattle Mariners win tonight as well. I think it's completely tied to that, right?
Really? I don't know how much people are going to be in there.
Oh, they're paying attention. Well, no, it's going to be because the Mariners are in Toronto. So the game starts at 5:30.
Okay. So it's going to be a different
time. I guarantee you in the Seattle other stadium, whatever they call it, Embark Field or whatever, I don't know, Empower, I don't know. They're going to be monitoring the Mariners game while the Seahawks are playing. For sure. And you're going to get like right around halftime or the third quarter, they're going to get a bump of whether the Mariners win or the Mariners lose. If the Mariners win, the Seahawks are winning this football game. If the Mariners lose, there could be a depressive state in that building, even if the Seahawks are winning.
A looming field.
Yeah, right. What about game 7 tonight, Jorge? Mariners and Blue Jays. We've got a couple minutes left. Who's going to the World Series tonight? In terms of both of these teams,
going Blue Jays.
You're going Blue Jays. Momentum back to the Blue Jays after winning last night.
I think so. I think that they, you know, last night it was a crucial game, and they showed that they got the power to be out there.
I like the Mariners tonight because I think they knew they weren't going to win Game 6. I think Blue Jays were showing up for Game 6 no matter what it was. It's the home crowd. It's easy to come after it, and I think. They were holding their cards a little bit for Game 7 tonight to go all out and make it happen. And I think they're set up nicely for Game 7 tonight. And I can't wait to see the chess match tonight in terms of it. There's going to be a lot of stops being pulled out in order for the Seattle Mariner team to get to its first World Series that they have never been to before. I'm rooting for history. I want to see all the teams in the World Series in Major League Baseball. And I think the Mariners are a more effective team to beat the LA Dodgers in terms of that is too. I don't think the Blue Jays are equipped to beat the LA Dodgers in terms of it. But either way, I think we're going to get an exciting World Series regardless to it. I just quite simply think seeing Seattle, that crowd, get into a World Series, having an all West Coast World Series, I think it would be the first time we would have it since the Giants and the Angels in 2002.
2002.
Yeah. Throw it back. That rally monkey that just lives in your nightmares, Jorge.
Shot that monkey.
Is that what you're suggesting? Oh, gosh. Yeah, my dad hated that rally monkey, too. Everybody I knew hated that rally monkey in terms of it. So I'm rooting for the Mariners. Bring out the Tridents. Let's go Seattle. Make it happen.
All right. Oh, man.
We'll see who's right.
I feel it.
We'll see who's right after tonight. All right. Monday Night Football. is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow for a full three-hour edition of show, taking up to NBA opening night tomorrow. So we'll talk a lot of NBA tomorrow, a lot of reaction to football, some baseball as well. We'll be back 3 p.m. tomorrow. Head over to me and Ed's Major Wager starting in a little bit. Monday Night Football coming up next.